Amen. You may be seated. You know, Veterans Day, we're celebrating that tomorrow, the warriors of our nation. But today, I want to talk to born-again Christians, warriors of the cross. We had a great Veterans Day celebration yesterday, but I want us to talk about Jesus and what he did for you and me. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, I want to talk to you today about the blood covenant. There's some truths, some scriptural truths hidden away in the memorial of the Lord's Supper that forms the foundation, listen to this, for the miracle working power of God. I say that again. These truths, the memorial of the Lord's Supper, they form the foundation of the miracle working power of God. And it's important that you understand this because it will give you a new confidence. It will give you a new boldness when it comes to obtaining the promises of God. And that's what I want to do today, is to make an impartation, as the Holy Ghost would allow me to, into your heart, and then to receive greater revelation as I preach, because that happens so many times. We're reading from John chapter 47. Jesus is speaking. He said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You already have it. Then Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Pastor Ricky did a wonderful series on the I Ams. But Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And in verse 49, he said, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." He says it again, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Verse 52, "The Jews thereof strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat?" His flesh to eat. Verse 53, "Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now, when Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you," what did he mean by that statement, "eat my flesh and drink my blood"? Now, when I was in college, I took some courses in other world religions, and I discovered through that study that most of the ancient cultures understood and they practiced the blood covenant. The word, Hebrew word for covenant, means to cut. It's to cut. It's to separate something into pieces. An incision was made from the incision and the blood flowed out. And since the life is in the blood was the basis for the covenant. At the Last Supper, Jesus shared with his disciples, and he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, and they all drank of it. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said in another gospel account in Mark 14:24. Look at this. Jesus said unto them, "This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Now, that's the King James Version. But if you'll go read other versions, the newer versions, the New King James says it like this: "This is the blood of the new covenant that is shed for many." When Jesus said, "This is the blood of the new covenant," his disciples knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew that when they cut that covenant with Jesus in that upper room that night, that they had entered into the strongest and the most sacred covenant known to the human heart. Now, I want to examine this subject today. I think we have a lack of understanding on this subject simply because the church in general has never been taught about the significance of the blood covenant. In our culture, we don't like to talk about blood. And some churches have even taken the blood out of the songs. But what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood. And you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversational lifestyle, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. It took the blood to redeem us, to wash away our sins. Hallelujah. Then I believe our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, penned there by God himself in blood, because when he sees the blood, he passes over us. See, the truth is the true church, it has a blood covenant with Christ. My subject this morning, the blood covenant. Brother Philip, would you come and pray for us, please? Hallelujah. I don't know. I just feel in my spirit. I want you to pray over this message. What a wonderful Sunday school lesson this man did teach this morning. Amen.
Father God, we thank you today for the privilege that's ours to sit here and to hear your word. Lord, we pray for an anointed word this day. Pray that you would give our pastor that special anointing to deliver to us the very mind of Christ this day. Help us, Lord, we pray that we will have open hearts, open minds and wills that are anointed to hear, to receive, and to obey your word today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word for covenant, it means to cut or to separate. And the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So cutting always involves blood. Now, when Abraham cut that covenant with some of his neighbors, we find that he entered into that covenant before he entered into covenant with God. That's how strong the blood covenant was back then. Next to marriage, the blood covenant is the oldest known covenant in human history. But we live in a culture with such a shallow commitment to one another that we don't understand being bound to another by a covenant. We call it my closest friends. No, these people were bound by a blood covenant. You know, we don't understand that, and that's why we have such a high divorce rate in America. Look at the lives. Look at the broken promises of the political system in America. And I'm afraid that over the years, this has polluted our relationship with one another, and it has polluted the church's relationship with God because they just don't understand the blood covenant. And because of that, our culture has ignored the blood covenant because the culture has done it. Theologians have avoided the blood covenant. And because we have ignored it, we have lost some spiritual truths and the understanding of the blood covenant. Now, in ancient cultures, when two men wished to cut covenant, they would come together with friends and they would have a priest there. And they would exchange gifts and they would bring a cup of wine and the priest would make an incision in each man's arm, normally on the wrist there. And then they would take and mingle their arms together like that. And then their blood would drip into the cup. The blood being stirred and mixed with the wine, that cup was then handed to one man. He would drink a part of it, and then he would hand it to the other man who would drink the rest of that. Now, when they had drunk it and they put their wrists together once again, that mingle the blood. You've seen the Indians on TV, you know, those old Westerns, and they would take and cut covenant with one another and mingle their arms. I've got an incision on my wrist right here where my best buddy, when we were growing up, we were watching those Westerns. We cut our wrists and we made a blood covenant with one another. Amen. He's in heaven today. Hallelujah. And I will see him someday when I reach those celestial shores of glory. Thank God for the power of the blood that we are redeemed by that blood, and we belong to God. But when these people came together for this, that was an altar where they made this covenant, showing just how sacred this covenant was. It was so sacred that the children to the third and fourth generation, they honored the covenant and they kept it. This covenant was so sacred in Africa that no man who broke it could live. Because if he broke it, he cursed the very ground on which he walked, and his family would hunt him down if he broke the blood covenant. Now, I want to read you a little story that I found. This is when Sir Henry Morton Stanley went to England to find David Livingstone, the explorer and missionary. Stanley came in contact with a powerful warrior tribe that controlled the entire region. Stanley was in no condition to fight them. The wealthy king's strong army, it was undefeated. Stanley's interpreter suggested to him that he make a blood covenant with the king. But the king did not want to make the commitment. Stanley didn't want to make that commitment to the king. He thought it was repulsive. It just repulsed him, the very thought of it, because of the blood. But his interpreter said, in a covenant, all the king has is yours, and all that you have is his. In a covenant, all that the king has is yours, and all that you have is his. This appealed to Stanley. And after several negotiations, they exchanged gifts to seal the covenant. The king wanted Stanley's white goat. Stanley was poor in health, and he needed the milk from that white goat. Although he did not want to give up his goat, at length he agreed. The king gave Stanley his 7-foot copper-wound spear. Stanley thought the king had taken advantage of him. But when he left the king and continued to look for Livingston, he was loaded down with provisions. I mean, he was loaded down with good stuff. After a few days, he found himself surrounded by 300 warriors. The warriors looked like they were going to kill them all. Stanley lifted his spear, and in his amazement, he watched as they all bowed down to him. Then they helped Stanley any way that they could help him. Wherever Stanley went in Africa with that copper-wound spear, everyone bowed and submitted to him. It gave him authority and power everywhere he went. Stanley was a blood brother to the king. If you messed with Stanley, you were messing with the king. Woo! We are blood brothers, hallelujah, with Jesus Christ, bought with a price, and we have entered into a sacred covenant. And if you mess with you, anyone messes with you or messes with me or anyone born again, they are messing with the church. Amen. They're messing with Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus has redeemed us. We are in a sacred blood covenant with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everything the king has belongs to you, and everything you have belongs to the king, and you'll understand that as we go further into this message this morning. You know, we say in the Western culture, blood is thicker than water, but in the Eastern culture, they say blood is thicker than milk, meaning that those who have entered into the blood covenant, that they have become blood brothers. They are bound together more than those who have tasted the same milk from the same mother's breast. And because of that, many of us have heard people say it in the church. I've heard it many, many times. I'm sure you have. I am closer to my brothers and sisters in the church than I am to my natural brothers and sisters. That's the power of the blood covenant. And this is what Jesus was saying when he said, if you're going to come and follow me, you'll have to forsake your mother and your father and your family, and you'll have to take up your cross and follow me. What is he saying? He is talking about a blood covenant that lasts for a lifetime, a blood covenant that requires everything from you. The blood covenant goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve, they transgressed God's law, and God cut covenant, or he entered into covenant with them. He slew an innocent animal, shed his blood, and provided a covering for them with the animal's covering. So the first blood sacrifice, it was offered by God himself. Later, Cain and Abel, they came to bring their offerings to God. And what kind of offering did they bring? Well, look at Genesis 4 and 3. Genesis 4 and 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. Abel brings a blood sacrifice. Cain brought the produce of the ground. Abel knew that it took blood to enter into a covenant. Evidently, his parents, Adam and Eve, they had taught him that. And that blood represented the sacrifice that God gave to atone for their sins. And the blood sacrifice that Abel brought, it was a substitute to atone for sins, meaning that the only way you can enter into a covenant with God is to give him your whole life. He was saying, God, you own me and you have a right to my life, and I completely yield and give myself to you. And on the other hand, Cain, he brought no such sacrifice. He brings the fruit of his labor, of his hands, from the earth, from the ground that God had already cursed. Abel brings the animal creation, created by God himself, representing the total gift of himself in giving of the blood. Cain brings God a present, and in essence he is saying, I will give you a present, God, but I will not give my total life to you. It's so important that you understand this, because everything you have belongs to God, and everything God has belongs to you. And we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus because of the blood. Paul got this revelation, and much of my preaching, it carries with it an overtone of Paul's revelation, because he had the audacity to say my gospel, and he gives some new creation realities. And I'm going to do a sequel to this sermon right here on the promises and the power behind this blood covenant. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you what Jesus Christ did, and only Paul gives that revelation to the church in the epistles that he writes to the churches that he raised up. It's important that you understand this, because everything you have belongs to God, and everything God has belongs to you. Abel brings the blood, which says, I will give God my life. I will give God everything. Cain said, I will give God that which costs me something, but I will not give God something that costs me everything. Abel said, I will give him the first fruits. I will give God the best. I will give God that which is precious to me, because it really represents that I am giving myself completely, wholly, and totally to God himself. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in Genesis chapter 15, God promised Abram a son. Abraham's name at this time was Abram. God would later change. Abram means father. Abraham means father of many nations. And God promised him a son. And the Bible says Abraham believed God, and because he believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, that word believe in the Hebrew, it means a lot more than what we think when we believe on Jesus Christ. That word means that Abraham made an unqualified committal of himself and all that he was and all that he would ever have to God. It meant he gave himself totally, completely, and wholly to God. And on the basis of that, God says, I want you to take for me, that is, I want you to take some animals for me, and I want you to slay them. And so Abraham took the animals, and he divided them, and he divided them just the way God said. And God came down during the night, and God, after they had split the things in two there, God walks through, and he saw the fire of God. Hallelujah. And God had done his part in cutting that covenant. But look at Genesis 15, 18 in this promise. And look at this. It says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. Then God says, my substitute has been slain, but now I want you to circumcise yourself. And when that was done, God and Abraham entered into a covenant. It was the blood covenant. Hallelujah. It meant that all that Abraham had or would ever have, it was laid upon the altar? Have you laid your life on the altar completely? Have you really given God everything? Do you serve Him the way you should? Or are you just looking some fire insurance? See, there's so much more to this thing than the church realizes today, because all the promises of God in Christ, they are yes. And when we say amen and follow all the promises and all the conditions that God has laid out, then when you give God everything, you can get everything. Woo! Glory! I said, when you give God everything, you can get everything that God has purposed for your life. Some people sit there and scratch their head like, what in the world is he talking about? I tell you what I'm talking about. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But we have not received the spirit of the world again to fear, but we have receive the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given of God. And God wants us to understand the power of the blood and the blood covenant. Go on, preach. I think we ought to stand, give Jesus a standing ovation for the blood that He bought us with. Bought with a price. Bought with a price. Bought, bought, bought. You belong to Jesus. Spirit, soul, and body, and all that God has, it belongs to you. And if you can see this, you'll be able to appropriate it by faith when that need arises. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My Lord. My Lord. When God cut that covenant with Abraham, the nation of Israel came into covenant. A covenant people, because of that blessing. Woo! One man entered into it and a nation was born. They later had the Ark of the Covenant, and they had the Ten Commandments. People say, well, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. Well, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, but who says you can't keep the Ten Commandments? People tell me, well, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. I say, which one? Thou shall not kill. Thou shall not steal. Thou shall not lie. Thou shall not commit adultery. Which one can't you keep? Honor thy father and thy mother. You can keep them all. Because now the commandments are not written on tables of stone. Woo! Hallelujah! The Holy Ghost wrote them in our heart. We've been born again. He applied the blood. And when the blood was applied to your heart, you came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And now you have a covenant, an everlasting blood covenant with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Hallelujah! Woo! I tell you what, there's more to this thing than people realize. They had the Ark of the Covenant, but the seal of the covenant, it was circumcision. And we know from the scriptures that every male child at 8 days of age was circumcised. Then God said, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. I mean, these Jews, they had to be circumcised when they were 8 years old, the males. See, you've often heard me say it, the greater your sacrifice. I told it to Brother Ray this morning, because it was hard for him to get here this morning. All the things that he had done. I said, Brother Ray, the greater your sacrifice, the greater the blessing. Woo! The greater your blessing you will get from God. God has set you up, brother, for a blessing like you have never imagined. In the name of Jesus. And I speak restoration. And I speak health. And I speak blessing. And I speak in the name of Jesus. And it carries authority in three worlds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this principle now. The greater your sacrifice, the greater the blessing. I want you to watch it as it works itself out in the life of Abraham. God said, take now your son, your only son whom you love. And you know the rest of that fearful command. And offer him unto me a burnt sacrifice. I mean, this man had prayed and believed God for years and years. And God had changed his name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. And 10 years went by and 15 years and 20 years. The Bible says they staggered not at the promises of God. strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He didn't consider the deadness of his body nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And at the appointed time, glory to God, God stepped on the scene, restored his youth, restored his wife's youth. Hallelujah. Woo! How would you like something like that? Glory to God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. He said, I satisfy your mouth with good things and renew your youth like the eagles. Hallelujah. I tell you what, there's more done than people realize. And it's all been done for you, the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Isaac was a young lad, God asked Abraham for his son. He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, unto the mountain, which I will show unto thee, and offer him unto me a sacrifice. Abraham didn't hesitate. He didn't go ask Eliezer, what do you think? He didn't ask his wife, Sarah, what do you think? Well, what do you think I should do? No, he heard from God. And even though it meant giving up everything that he had held dear, he got on the move. He took a 3-day journey to Mount Moriah. And together, he and his son, they built the altar. And Abraham laid that young lad upon the altar, drew back the knife to slay him. And when he did, the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on that lad. God had found a man that would honor him. God had found a man that would obey him. God had found a man that would keep covenant. And God said, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, your only son from me, in blessings I will bless thee. Woo! In multiplying, I will multiply, catch this, your seed. God said, I'll multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven. Hallelujah. What a covenant. What a blessing. What a mystery that God had hidden. Yet Jesus begins to unveil that mystery to his disciples in the New Testament. Let's look into the New Testament. We see Jesus and his disciples. They're gathered together the night before the crucifixion. And Jesus said, I long to break bread with you, and I long to drink this cup. And after he had blessed the bread and break it, he said, this is my body. I read you the text, which is broken for you. And he took a cup of wine and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant that is poured out for many for the remission of sin. You see, the old blood covenant, that was the basis on which the new and better covenant that Jesus cut with his own precious blood, that's the basis on which the new covenant was founded, on the old covenant. Now you can understand that when Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant, the disciples knew exactly what Jesus meant. They knew they were cutting a covenant with Jesus in that upper room. They knew that they were entering into the strongest and the most sacred covenant known to the human heart. This would later profoundly affect their ministry. John wrote, look at what John wrote in the book of Revelation. Grace and peace be unto you. And to the seven churches which are in Asia. Look at this, Revelation 1 and 5. Now, many people think John had been born again before the blood was applied to his heart. Oh, no. Every one of those disciples were like the Old Testament saints. They had a promissory note. They had a promise. And so you got to see this. Because if you don't, you won't be able to separate from the old and the new, and you won't be able to understand what Jesus literally did for you when he shed his precious blood on that cross. Look at Revelation 1 and 5. Now, John, he's the man that had, he's over there, got his head resting on Jesus' breast, and look at it. He said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, look at this. Here it is. Unto him that loved us. He includes himself and washed us from our sins in his own blood. My Lord. John said he washed us in his blood. He freed us by His blood. He liberated us by His blood. They all knew the power of the blood and the power of the blood covenant. They knew it. And they preached it everywhere they went. But the church has forgotten because we don't understand the old covenant and how it was cut and the significance of its meaning. Now look at what Paul said. Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we have been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to look at this. Romans 3:25, whom God has set to be the propitiation or the substitute through faith in His blood, woo, to declare His righteousness for remission of sins that are past, not past, present, and future, past sins for the forbearance of God. Now, a lot of people want to say when you got saved, all your past sins, present sins, and future sins were forgiven. They weren't. You have an advocate with the Father. And if you sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins. And don't get mixed up there. It's all been paid for. Everybody that wants to be saved, they can be saved. But you've got to appropriate faith in the cross and the work of redemptive work of Jesus before you ever got born again. Oh, you knew about Jesus. You'd heard about Jesus, but you hadn't received Jesus. There's a lot more to this thing than knowing about Jesus and receiving Jesus. I tell you, when you receive Him, a radical change takes place in your heart. You come out of darkness into the marvelous light, and the things you used to do, you don't want to do no more. The places you used to go, you don't want to go no more. Hallelujah. Your language has changed. Everything has changed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I think I'll just shout a little while. I tell you what, when this stuff gets to working inside of me, and I realize who I am and what Christ has done, makes me want to shout. Makes me want to dance. They were singing that song about dancing in His strength. And in my mind, I saw the whole church erupt into dancing. Everybody in this place was dancing. The lame were dancing. Try it sometimes, praise God. If you can't get up and walk, try it. It might shock you what God will do. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. He said, stretch forth thy hand. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Put some faith in action on the basis of the blood covenant. Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus has freed us by His grace. And the law that was against us, it has been nailed to the cross because we are redeemed by the blood. It's a legal fact that Jesus has redeemed you with His own precious blood. Your sins have been completely paid for. You have been declared innocent and righteous because of the free gift that the blood covenant brings. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 1:7. Paul said it like this, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You didn't do anything to earn it. Jesus qualified you. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He poured out His blood at the cross, and He redeemed us. Glory to God. Satan's legal claim has been broken off of your life by the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus. You and I, we deserve to die, but Jesus took our place. Jesus died for you and me. He took our place, and in doing so, He made a legal claim for you and me. We were all under the dominion of the devil, but Jesus saved us from eternal death. Oh my God, when I think about the riches of His grace, no wonder Paul exclaimed, oh, the riches of His grace. My God, we deserve to die, But we were freed from the dominion of the devil. And Jesus saved us from eternal death. He made peace with God for us. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. He suffered that you and I might not suffer. You say, well, I'm suffering today, Pastor. But friend, you don't know the suffering that God has spared you from. Let me tell you that. He saved us from the wrath of God to come. He has redeemed us. He has reconciled us to the Father. If you can get a hold of what the blood means, it will radically change your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ forever. He died that you might not taste eternal death. He died in your place. He gave his life. He stepped in front and he took the bullet for you. And if you can only understand the blood and the power of the blood covenant, it will free you forever. You have been purchased by the blood. You have been redeemed by the blood. You have been freed by the blood. 1 John 1:9 says his blood continually keeps cleansing us from all sin when we confess that sin. The blood continually washes you and me. And we don't like to talk. In many of the churches, we don't like to talk about the blood. But the truth is, you and I have a blood covenant with Jesus Christ. Everything he has belongs to you. And everything you have belongs to him. And because of that, you cannot be in covenant and refuse to obey God. You cannot be in covenant and refuse to serve him. You cannot be in covenant and refuse to love him supremely with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When Abraham cut the covenant with God, God told him, said, take for me as my sacrifice some animals and slay them. And after that was done, God said, my sacrifice has been slain. I want you to circumcise yourself. And now I want you to see the revelation that Paul gives to the Gentile church and the church that was born on the day of Pentecost. It includes everyone. When they nailed Jesus to the cross, the Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him. Isaiah said that, said he's made his soul an offering for sin. And the Father took the sins of the whole world and thrust them on the sacrificial lamb, Jesus, his only begotten Son. His blood was shed. Jesus' blood was shed as God's part of the covenant. Now, anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if you have done that, you are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And everything he has belongs to you, and everything you have belongs to him. Look at Galatians 3:29. This is where the Holy Ghost took me a step further in the blood covenant. Galatians 3:29. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a Savior. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. That we have entered into the most sacred covenant known to the human heart. The blood covenant. Look at this, Romans 2:28. Romans 2:28. Revelation from Paul. For he is not a Jew which is one atom. This is a Jew of the Jews. A Hebrew of the Hebrews writing this. For he is not a Jew which is one atom. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Wow. What a challenge. So what is the challenge to us today? I want to give you a challenge. I do. To stop giving God presents and to give yourself totally and completely and wholly to God as a living sacrifice. Think about it. Think about the death of God's Son on the cross. What did God give us? Did he give us an angel with a broken wing? No. He gave us heaven's best. He gave us his only begotten son. He gave us himself. He gave us his blood. And the only appropriate response to God giving Jesus Christ on that cross is for us to give ourselves totally, wholly, and completely to God without any reservations attached. It is to say, Lord, I am yours. You own me. You have a right to my life. And I am willing to submit myself totally to you and your lordship. I have a question for you. I want this to lay on you. Do you want all that God has purposed for your life? A lot of people say I do. Let me ask it again. Do you want all that God has purposed for your life? Then purpose in your heart to give him all of you. For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
What can wash
love
away
you, Lord.
My sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole?
What can make me whole again? What can heal me?
Nothing.
What can bring that miracle?
Jesus.
Nothing but the blood. Blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, and no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of.
You know, that was some real truths in some of those old westerns. They would cut blood covenant, mingle the blood together. And then when they were totally overcome, they would take a white flag in total surrender. We're not surrendering to our enemy, the devil. We're making total surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want us to come to this altar and wave the white flag. Say, Lord, I surrender all.
Oh,
I surrender it all, Lord.
Precious,
I give you permission, Father, any part of my life that's not surrendered to you. Lord, I'm here today to give it to you. This is Jerry Nelson talking to you, God. Search me, Father. Know me. Know my thoughts. Know my lying down. You already do. My risings up. You know the thought and intent, purpose of my heart. Pull in my heart, Lord, to love you more. I surrender. I wave the white flag, Lord. Woo! Glory. Oh, the power of the blood. Glory.
No other fount I knew. I said nothing but blood of Jesus.
If you need healing today, then Lord, I release this to you. I wave the white flag. All that I have is yours, but I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And all that you have belongs to me. Hallelujah. And today I appropriate it by faith, by total surrender to what God has spoken to me today. I surrender all.